Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe.
And I'm Sue Bird.
We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm,
and he got it, young ball continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. We are talking the NBA potentially resuming. We're going to find out a little bit more this week, and we're very, very excited to talk about that. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Well, I've fucked up the cropping of your video right off the top. Don't look at the stream, Justin. This is going to be between us and the viewers. You don't need to know.
It's okay, perfect.
I'm upset. I won't lie. I've had a sloppy start to the pod. Keith had to wait while we set up. So, you know, we're going to get there. I believe in us, but right now I'm not in my A game.
That's okay, Carter. We don't expect your A game from you, but Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports is with us today, and he always brings his A game. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So right off the top, I want to seed a little something for you. When I first became aware of you, so this probably was back 2013, 2014, I think I got a few jokes off on the sources game. You know, anytime there's somebody that isn't mainstream, you'll get the jokes off. I want you to drag me. I want you to drag me at some point in this podcast because I think that's only fair. I don't take myself too seriously. And of course, you have all the bragging rights in the world right now because, I mean, we've all.
This has been a real dick on the table week.
Yeah, this has absolutely been a dick on the table week. And of course, we've gotten along a whole lot better over the years. But I just wanted to at least seed that and make fun of myself because it's one of the things I do best. But for listeners that don't know, Keith had written that was in April, right? Where you had written about Disney World as a very, very viable solution for a bubble league with the NBA. And could we start off with maybe just going over some of the reasons why Disney just seems to make so much sense?
Sure. Yeah. And you're right on the timing. It came out on April 16th is when it published. For me to go back to initially, we all thought this was going to be like a 2-week thing, right? That's what we all heard. And it was like, all right, so we'll take a couple weeks. We're going to stay home and then it'll be fine. And then once it became clear, it wasn't. You started to hear things like, well, how could we do this? And there was the nonsense of let's play on cruise ships, which is absolutely insane to me as someone who's been on several cruises in my life. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Private islands, which was like, all right, well, you know that. Okay. And then people started saying, well, Las Vegas could make sense. The hotels are empty. They've got the basketball facilities. And that's when I really started thinking, you know, that's not bad. I'm there every year, as are a lot of people, for summer league. But what really jumped to my mind was, well, why not Walt Disney World? Because I started immediately with the Vegas idea, thinking about a couple things. One, where they were talking about doing it was going to be building basketball courts inside convention centers and things like that. There's like, that's a little weird to me. In Las Vegas, people live there, you know, it's a public city. It's hard to keep it kind of closed. And that was at the time when it was, I believe it was Dr. Fauci was saying like, it has to be in a bubble. You know, if you're going to do pro sports, you have to have a bubble. That's the only way. So as someone who worked for Disney for nearly 20 years, I instantly went to, well, Disney's private property has just as many hotel rooms as Las Vegas. And they have the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex, which is already set up. It's already set up as a sports facility with, you know, multiple arenas and everything the NBA could need. And on top of it, it's private property. So if they want to close down a chunk of the property and say, this is it, this is for the NBA, nobody else gets in, that's very easily done for them. And when I say easy, I want to make a note, none of this is easy, right? It's yes. relative ease, you know, so let's be, you know, clear about that off the top. But that is, you know, that's why Disney came to mind for me, and it made the most sense.
No, absolutely. And it's interesting because we heard even last week, some of the conversation seemed to be, okay, Disney is definitely the front runner and it's in play, but there was still some talk about having a second site with Las Vegas. But it does seem now Disney is not only the front runner, it seems to be the only location. And your article outlined that they can have as many as 8 games going on at the same time. Is that correct?
Yeah, they could. I would not expect that. I think what you're really looking at with Disney is, so give a little detail on the Wide World of Sports complex, since I'm learning through this as a big Disney guy and a, you know, self-proclaimed Disney nerd. Mm-hmm. People aren't overly familiar with that part of the Disney property, which, why would you be?
If you've been thought here. I thought it was like some bars that are like ESPN themed.
Right. And they do have
that was
one
my
of those.
Idea of what it was.
There is one of those on property that's at the Boardwalk Resort, but yeah, it's, you know, unless you've been there for sports, you've probably never been there, because when you come on vacation to Disney, it's drop the bags, run to the theme parks and, you know, leave tired and poor. And that's the idea of the trip, right? So it's, you know, so the sports complex has 3 arena facilities that they have right on property. The first one is the HP Fieldhouse. It is home to the Advocare Invitational every year. That's a major college basketball tournament held over Thanksgiving week. So it's Division I teams, because I've heard people be like, but is this like, you know, small schools in Florida? It's a Division I tournament. There's always, you know, 3 or 4 NCAA tournament teams in there, a couple ranked teams usually in the like that are in there. So that one is, I would presume, would be the main game court. Okay. I liken it to, if you think of Summer League, think of Thomas and Mack. It's not quite as big of an arena as that, but that doesn't really matter because there's not going to be fans. So who cares how many seats there are in the place?
Good point. Yeah.
So that doesn't really matter at all. If you really want to think about it, liken it to a mid-major college gymnasium. That's the, you know, rough size of it, but it's all broadcast ready. It hosts that tournament every year, hosts major AAU games there and things like that. Then there's another building on property which is named the Arena. It doesn't have a sponsor to it. It was built only a couple years ago, or maybe within the last year it opened. I don't have the exact timing, but it is it was built primarily to host the cheer and dance competitions, because those have gotten so huge down here that they were, you know, really taking up a lot of other arena space. So they built them their own space, but it can be set up very easily as a game arena as well, with a game court in it. So my assumption has been those would be the 2 game courts. Then the third section is this building called the Visa Center. And the Visa Center, I've been kind of likening it to an airplane hangar. It's like a big, wide open, multi-purpose space that can be built and configured into whatever it is you need. So I think in there, that's where they would set up multiple courts as practice courts. You can put up dividers and partitions and whatever you need to give, you know, people privacy and the like, and set that up. And I think that would become kind of the practice facility, if you will. And all of these are all within, you know, walking distance of each other. I mean, if you ever find a property map, you'll see they're all right there. You know,
you can see a property map if you're watching on Twitch right now.
Perfect.
We have them pulled up.
Yep. So they're all right there, right next to each other. Everybody can kind of bounce in between. There's food facilities right actually attached to the Visa Center, so you can just, you know, get right in there if they're gonna feed the players and those kind of things and the like. So it's all set up all in one convenient area. And that would be my assumption, would be 2 games going on at a time, and then you'd have the other court set up for practices.
So it's my understanding that they are not doing a true bubble anymore. If someone hasn't been following closely, like me, and has just kind of been waiting for things to kind of pull together, what is the current status? That do we know what they're looking at in terms of whether people are going to be allowed to leave once they get in?
Yeah, there's a lot of call it mixed information that I'm hearing on that. I think they've stopped using the term bubble because I think it gives there seems to be a negative connotation to that for whatever reason. Hmm. They've just gone to single site or campus setup or whatever it is, which is funny because I would think if you want safety, I don't know, like campus is the word I want to use.
The bubble right? actually made me feel comfortable. Yeah. If I hear bubble, I think of like bubble boy or like exactly, something, yep. something that's isolated that seems safe. I don't think campus, I immediately, my mind goes to campus PD. It goes to all the right. mistakes I made in college.
Yeah, my campus exactly. wasn't particularly secured.
No, yeah.
or sterile.
Yeah, so I think that's the but whatever, it's all terminology. What I have been told is players are going to have freedom to move within whatever the bubble or campus is as much as they want, and they're not necessarily going to be confined. It's not like they're going to be told you absolutely cannot leave under no circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to be highly recommended that they don't leave, because if they come back and there's anything going on, then they're not going to be allowed back in. And that's where it comes for me. I know Jared Dudley had spoke and said they're not going to be on lockdown or whatever it was. They'll be able to leave the bubble and the like, but I don't know that those final determinations have been made, what that looks like, and how much are they going to be able to leave and those kind of things. I think it's more of, my understanding seems to be, you're not going to be confined to your hotel room. I know my colleague Surat Sohi over at Yahoo wrote mm-hmm. about Ekpe Udoh in China, and he was confined to his hotel room for 2 weeks, like literally had to stay in his hotel room. They brought him food and everything. It's not going to be like that. That's not the plan. But I think it's freedom of movement within the areas that are accessible to them. But leaving and like going to downtown Orlando or something like that, I don't know that that's going to be on the table.
Be a lot of fun if it's like a high school basketball tournament where the teams that aren't playing go and watch the teams that are playing, like that.
You have the closest thing we're gonna get to a crowd.
Yeah,
get mics on them. Like to me, that would be such an easy way to enhance that. That would be a ton of fun.
I think it's fun too on that respect too, right? We hear all these guys talk all the time about what do they do when they go home and on an off night they watch League Pass.
Right.
When they're in the playoffs, they're watching the other playoff games. So yeah, if they're already in there and checked out, why not let them, be in the gym and watch games if they want to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's ultimately the direction they go, because it's not like you're going to pick up anything by being there that you wouldn't see, by watching on TV anyway.
Think how many hilarious playoff moments would be enhanced by cutting to a player on another team just shaking their head. Like, to me, that
the DeAndre like face, easily. The DeAndre face after he yammed on Brandon Knight, though. Ooh, that's what we're going to be able to see in the chat. StoCenter 93 just asked Keith, any word on if family is going to be able to join these players, coaches, staff, etc.?
Yeah, last word. So this has been kind of an evolving situation, because initially it was no, it would be just the necessary personnel. Then that got killed pretty quick when it really came out of, I don't know if these guys are going to be wanting to do this then, mm-hmm. if they can't bring the family. Now, I will say as an aside, that was probably about 2-3 weeks ago that all kind of bubbled up. So I asked a couple players, and I had one player very frankly tell me, man, I've been with my family now for almost 2 months. I'm going to be ready to go back to work. So, so I think,
and that's been the biggest misconception, I think, in this whole thing, is that these players are like, oh man, yeah, I can't leave my girlfriend.
Yeah. And I think, for someone who's been trapped in the house, here with my family, I love them, but I wouldn't mind a day at work too, if it came to it. So
a few days in the office haven't been too bad for me when I've had to go in. Let's just say that much.
Yeah. So it's, but then we heard, families would be allowed. They'd be welcome. I don't think it's going to be the 20-30 person deep entourages some of these guys roll with that we all see mm-hmm. on a regular basis. I think it'll be more of just a smaller group, maybe immediate family and the like. But now it's starting to, as they're looking to limit the travel parties down to about 30 to 35 people is what it's sounding like, and that's much smaller. The average NBA travel party somewhere between 50 and 80 people mm-hmm. depending on the team, and I think that is really really important to consider that. And is that because we're going to limit it there, because we're going to allow the players to bring, you know, three or four family members? What's that going to look like? So I don't know that we have all those details yet. I would expect those would start coming out sometime within the next week or two.
Keith, our mutual friend Chris Barnwell just commented on Twitch saying that you're acting like you don't roll into Amway with a 50-person entourage every yeah. time.
Chris knows I don't. I roll in all by myself, and then I try to get out of there and go home and go to bed as soon as I can when the games are over.
One question I have. So with NBA kind of centering in on an Orlando-only return to play, do you feel that's instructive on how many teams are actually going to participate in that? Because it does feel like if you're sticking with the one side, and as you mentioned, maybe two teams playing at the same time, kind of makes me think
that it's Justin, I don't know if you know that's the minimum.
Well, okay, still. Anyways, it does make me think that it's more likely that we're not going to get regular season games, maybe play-in games, but the emphasis is going to shift towards getting to playoffs as quickly as possible, especially when you consider if this is going to start in late July, 2 months for playoffs. I don't know how much room there's really going to be to sandwich NBA regular season games in there. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, that's been really interesting kind of watching that all develop, because initially the plans I was hearing was we need to get everybody to that 70 game marker. That was almost I don't want to call it a complete non-negotiable, but that mm-hmm. was a pretty important thing. And the idea there was that's when they fulfill the vast majority of the regional sports network deals. And then that's a lot of money that comes, you know, back into the league that they might not have to, you know, give back otherwise because they didn't fulfill those contracts. Now it seems like that's taken a little bit of a turn. And I think there might be a timing situation here at play where it doesn't sound like they're as hard and fast. It got to be done on Labor Day as they were at one point, because that was really, they didn't want to run too much into the NFL season. Right. Now it sounds like they're willing to go a little later into September, you know, maybe even early October if they need be there. But I think the challenge that has come in with that part of it is then that limits obviously what you can do season wide. So one thing that I have continually heard through this process is Adam Silver is, he doesn't want to make big changes to the playoffs. He wants to have as many seven game series as possible. He has completely rejected the idea of any kind of single elimination tournament. He doesn't believe that crowns a true champion. He believes that if you run the gauntlet of seven game series in the NBA, you've earned that title, no matter what the circumstances were around it. Now, I think, could they do maybe five game series in the first round or something like that? Sure. I think that's in play. I don't think that changes things too much, mm-hmm. but I think they are really focused on those seven game series as much of the playoffs as possible. And let's face it, right? We're all basketball guys, so we're watching on a night to night basis, but a lot of fans are really only care about the playoffs. So if that's what you're getting in, then you're going to get those kind of casual eyes as well. I mean, I think you're going to get a lot of viewers, especially if you're the only game on anyway, because we're also sports starved. But I think that's something that they're looking to make sure that they maintain. And now hearing some of the talk of, you know, maybe a small play-in tournament, you know, a handful of games leading up that are more like preseason-ish type games, and then we go right into the playoffs, maybe this 1-16 seeding stuff that's been thrown out there and talked about a lot today. It could be, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's, you know, maybe 16, maybe 20 teams are invited in those last few teams that are in the Western Conference that have a legitimate shot still at making it. There's something worked out for them to get that chance. And then that's what we roll in with. I'm starting to believe less and less that all 30 teams will be involved.
Yeah, that seems likely. And I know one thing for a fact, no matter how many teams are involved, our sponsor for today's podcast is very excited to have those games back, because Bet Online, even though there hasn't been games going on right now, there's certainly no shortage of action to bet on with our exclusive partner, Bet Online. NASCAR is back and Bet Online has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges, all to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. So one thing that's jumping out to me, I was the same kind of train of thought as you when it came to the 70 games. I was expecting that. So for the Cavs, that would be five more games to get to that 70 marker. And to me, it was actually kind of interesting. For non-playoff teams, the way that I would look at that is, okay, so you have a training camp, basically, where you're getting guys into shape, you get to work on their games, and something you don't really get a ton of in the regular season is being able to work on their games that same way. Then you have five games, and that almost becomes like a better version of Summer League. Like, they're not going to be doing Summer League this year. Yeah. So that gives those non-playoff teams an opportunity to kind of try out whatever they've been working on. Then you have a couple months off, then you have another training camp. So that's actually kind of nice, but it does make sense at the same time to limit it to just the playoff teams, whether it be 24, 16, however many they choose to get in on this, just from a safety aspect. Because that's going to be the most interesting thing to me is, will there be options for players that don't feel comfortable to not participate without punishment? Because I really do feel like that's a really important part of this equation. Because, I mean, as Cavs fans, we know Larry Nance Jr. has some trepidation regarding that because of the complications with his Crohn's disease.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I will tell you, I have not personally spoken to any players who don't want to come back and play. Now, most of them talk about there's a financial stake at playing, even the ones who are on, you know, teams that have no chance at making the playoffs that I've spoken to. And a couple of them have said things as simple as, this might be my only year in the NBA. I need to make as much of that 1 year deal that I can. I don't want to lose any chunk of that. And that makes sense. I understand that, right? We're all going through different things financially, and these guys are, you know, no different. I know, you know, people look at, everybody thinks, you know, NBA players are, you know, all are multimillionaires. Well, the guys who are 1 year in the league, they're not, you know, now they make more money than I'll ever make in a year, but you know, I think
don't sell yourself short, Keith.
I'm pretty certain on that. If BetOnline wants to put off,
I was about to say, put your entire salary on black.
Throw some money down on some virtual Madden simulations, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could. I don't know that. Look, let's put it this way: no one's ever going to pay me that much in salary as an employee.
There we go.
Let's put it that way. But you know, yeah. So I get it where those guys are coming from, and then there's been a few players who have said pretty simply, I'm a basketball player. I play basketball. I'm ready to go. Now, all of them have said, but I only want to do this if it's safe, if it makes sense, if it's there. And I think that's kind of, at this point, I think that goes without saying. I think, you know, Adam Silver made that pretty clear. If we don't feel like this is the thing to do, let's just end this and we'll come back whenever it is time. I think they were all very clear as, we're only going to do this if we feel we can do it in a safe manner. But I'd like to believe the NBA is a pretty, you know, progressive, forward-thinking league. If a player came out, like, let's use Larry Nance because you use him as an example. If he said, you know, hey, I feel for my health, the best thing may be not to go, I don't think they would put him in a position to force and say, you have to go, you have to be there. I think they would be very understanding. And that's why we're starting to hear some things like they could do expanded rosters. They could allow for the two-way players to be active and take the limits off them. They could allow the two-way players to be active for the playoffs and those kind of things. So I think the NBA is trying to protect against some of what will be inevitable injuries, as well as, if there is a handful of guys who are like, I just don't feel like this is the right thing for me to do, then let's take care of those guys too.
Go ahead, Carter.
Someone in the chat, Arista, just asked, what's the protocol for someone if someone does end up getting COVID? I mean, in this paradigm, I would imagine he's asking about a player. Obviously, the team can't really go on lockdown, especially if they're in the middle of the playoffs. Is it going to be a situation where, because they're being tested daily, that you just excise that player until he, you know, is no longer presenting or testing positively?
That's what it sounds like it'll be. It sounds like they're going to treat it like it's an injury or someone got ill, you know, in the playoff run, and then say, all right, they're going to be out. They're going to go, you know, quarantine them. They would be clearly quarantined, and we'll, you know, get them healthy and get them back. Now, what I haven't heard is, what if that spreads to an entire team? What if all of a sudden it's, you know, seven or eight guys on a team, or, you know, an entire group, or the coaching staff, or whatever that starts to look like? That part, I don't know. I assume those are the conversations that have been happening and will continue to happen all the way through to whatever time it is. All right, we're headed to Florida. You know, I think those will be decisions you'll have to have made. I know Adam Silver was pretty good with the Board of Governors saying, look, if we're saying one positive test is going to shut us back down, then we need to say, no, this isn't the right thing to do. And there's some people who are like, oh yeah, look at how hard he's being on them. I look at that more as he's saying, if that's what we all believe is the right thing to do, then let's not move forward.
Yeah.
But we can't allow one more positive test to shut us back down this year.
Especially in the negotiation stage. Yeah. Like you have to say, okay, this is kind of where this is what we're thinking. Are you guys comfortable with that?
It's also a logistics thing. I don't even think there's that much moral involved in that statement as much as like, listen, it's going to be an enormous financial undertaking to do this. Yeah. I believe there was Keith, you might have heard, there was a high school volleyball tournament that was getting ready to be played in Orlando a couple weeks ago. And after evaluating the cost, I think they just kind of were like, nope, not going to be able to do it. This is actually insanely expensive. And if you're going to commit to the financial undertaking that you're taking, you can't just bail this. You can't bail after one test, or you made a bad, you just made a bad choice. I completely agree with you there, Keith.
Thank God the Warriors aren't in this playoffs. Like that, we haven't had a lot of lucky breaks in this, but if they were and Steph had one bad shooting game, he'd cover himself with COVID blankets and take down the whole bubble.
You're such a bad person.
Man, he just recycled a Twitter joke he made the other day.
Oh.
I did. I saw that on the timeline.
This won't be the first or the last time he does that.
Yeah, until I get enough roses, I will recycle a joke over and over and over again. You know,
See, there's always somebody. It's the first time they've heard it, right?
Well, I got another one. How about this? We already know what happens when half a team is out of commission. The Warriors win a title.
Oh God, man. You are awful. I am awful, man.
You know what?
To take us back on track, it is really interesting to think about kind of what the mass infection looks like if it's an entire team or half a team, and kind of what they have to do. I mean, it stands to reason that they could just push it back. Have you got any sense of what they might do, or any ideas on like it? Because they can't not have a plan.
Yeah, I don't. I have not heard anything conclusive. Everything I've heard is all speculation as far as, you know, do you push it back? But I think their challenge is, it seems like we're all pretty locked into worldwide. This happens, it's 2 weeks, minimum that you're going to kind of be out of commission and quarantine. And I don't know that they, cause you can't, if you're in the playoffs, you can't push it back for one series, 2 weeks. Cause then everybody else finishes up and then they sit around for 2 weeks.
Everyone has to wait 2 weeks if you can't.
And I think that's the challenge in this is, there is a component here where, like, the reality is Disney's not going to open the sports complex likely this fall. There's just not – fall is already a slow season for them. They're a slower season. Spring and summer, they're busier times. So they're not going to open it in the fall. So that gives the NBA plenty of leeway there with the sports complex if they needed to go. But there is going to be a point where it's like, all right, what are we doing? And then there's a point just for the NBA of, how deep are we going to push back next year? So I don't think, massive pauses. But, yeah, I haven't heard anything definitive as far as what do you do if an entire team, gets taken down by this. Is it, is it as simple as they're out, and you forfeit? Do you repopulate the roster with, G-leaguers or something? I really don't know. I don't know what their plans are.
It's actually insanely tough because, really, if you say it's 2 weeks – you basically say you can't do this because what if you push it back 2 weeks and then at the end of that 2 weeks, a different team gets sick?
Yeah.
You could probably absorb 1-2 week like pushback.
The logistics of this are,
it just gets crazy. Now, I'm glad I don't have to make any of these choices.
My guess would be too, because of the, I'm going to just call it a bubble scenario, if one entire team gets sick, there's more than just one team right? Yeah, it's gonna spread. And I think at that point, if you're two, 10, 12 guys on one roster sick, you've got multiple players on multiple teams that are gonna go down with COVID. And I think at that point, then you just shut it all down and say,
this could go so bad.
I think that's the important part of doing the test of when they get in.
You do the test,
there's going to be a 2-week waiting period, it sounds like, before anything picks back up. You know, they might do some practices and the like, but it'll be really there, because I think the hope is get them there healthy, keep them healthy, and get this thing done, which I think lends to what Justin was saying, is the smaller the numbers you keep, the easier it is to keep this thing moving.
One question I have is, does Disney World – forgive my ignorance on this — is Disney World currently opening back up in some capacity? And if it does open up over this stretch, how easily are they going to be able to keep this league insulated when there's people going around the park?
Sure. Yeah. So this is where, and I don't know if you guys are pulling it up on Twitch or not, but on my Twitter, I put out a Disney property map. Mm-hmm. Just because I put that out on my Twitter, just so people could understand how big Walt Disney World is. If that's not visible for frame of reference, it's twice the size of Manhattan, and it is roughly the size of San Francisco. 39 wow. square miles is the property. And just to put it in more terms that I really understand, I live on one end of property. To get all the way to the other end of property is about a 20 to 25 minute car ride, and that's with no traffic.
Jesus. No wonder people go there during hurricanes.
so to that point, so what has reopened here at Walt Disney World to this point is their Disney Springs area, which is their shopping and dining area. It used to be called Downtown Disney. It's mm-hmm. now called Disney Springs. That has reopened. The third-party participant companies, which are outside companies, they redid Disney Springs a few years back, turned it into a very big outdoor mall. Those groups reopened. Disney owned and operated is going to open this week. That's going to happen this week. As far as the theme parks go, Disney has not announced anything as far as when they're going to reopen the theme parks. The only Disney park that's open worldwide right now is Shanghai Disneyland. That reopened just a couple weeks ago. And all eyes are really on that company-wide, because they're watching that to see how does it work, having people have to wear masks and temperature checks and the social distancing and disinfecting, rides in between. Every time you're on a cycle, you got to disinfect the ride vehicle mm-hmm. and that to get people in. So those are all the things that they're really kind of working through it and letting Shanghai figure out for the rest of the company's properties around the world. Now, what I have been told is when Disney reopens, and what makes the most sense, is it'll be a very slow, staggered reopening. They'll open. There are four theme parks here in Florida. I've learned throughout this, I think a lot of people are very familiar with Disneyland, but don't necessarily know Walt Disney World as much. And Disneyland is one park, and then California Adventure, literally right across the way from it, almost like across the street, I guess, is an easy terminology. Walt Disney World is four parks, which are pretty separated. Sports complex and the properties all the way at the bottom of the property, really isolated. It's about a half mile long drive into it from the roadway just to get all the way down into the sports complex. And I would assume they'd shut it off right at the road. They're not going to let anybody even get close.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be down in there. And then I would assume Magic Kingdom, which is about as far opposite as you can get from the sports complex. That's Disney's, that's the prime theme park. That's the one everybody goes to. That would likely open first and be the only park open probably for a while. And then they would slowly ramp up to getting the other parks open. One reason is just keep it slow, keep it steady, keep it controlled. The other part is there's not going to be the volume of tourism to need to reopen everything right away. It's just, people aren't going to start immediately jumping in cars and traveling and flying to Disney. And that goes for the hotels as well, which is why I think they're willing to take, an entire hotel or an entire, chunk of hotels out of inventory, provide them to the NBA. There's still a lot of discussion. It sounds like the MLS may be here as well, roughly at the same time. And there's a lot of discussion on that. And I think that's why they're willing to do that, because they know they're not going to need their full hotel volume for paying guests.
I've got the map pulled up here, but I just for reference, I mean, would
are there hotels in the ESPN Wide Worlds of Sports complex that they would, is that where they'd stay, or would they have to be bused?
No, they would have to be bused in. It sounds like hotels that are most likely are Coronado Springs, which is, it's actually on the map. It might look like it's kind of far away, but it's actually a pretty straight shot. It's one road down and another left, and then you're there. And then, you know, reverse that to get back. And Coronado Springs is out of inventory right now. If you look at it in the month of July, there's nothing you can book there if you went on to the Disney site and all
stay
the
woke
hotels. So those are, you know, that's the Disney nerd in me knowing kind of where to look for info there. But in Coronado is also, it's their convention hotel for Walt Disney World. They just opened a massive big resort tower, which is very similar to anything you'd find in Las Vegas. And then there's, you know, thousands of other hotel rooms as well, in addition to that resort tower, as well as 220,000 square feet of convention space, which could be converted into meeting rooms, dining areas, into you know, workout facilities if need be for the players, like weight rooms and the like, with relative ease, because you can do, if you've been in a convention center, you know, they all come with collapsible walls that can be configured in just about any way you need to. So that's an area that seems to have some steam for the NBA, possibly maybe the MLS. And then there's another, if you look at the sports complex and look directly north of it, there's a group of hotels that are right there. Those are the ones I initially mentioned, because if you're trying to keep it closest and confined, they are the closest to the sports complex. That's Art of Animation, Pop Century, those. Now, those are the value hotels, which people are like, no way, you know, NBA guys are staying at value, you know, resorts. But I mean, it's still Disney. They're still, you know, a little nicer than, you know, they're not,
not a Motel
8. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not what I stay in when I go on vacation. It's, you know, they're pretty nice hotels. And then there's a couple more upscale, Caribbean Beach and the Riviera Resort, right there as well. They're kind of all somewhat interconnected. Those four resorts are, and they're all right there near near the sports complex. It's, again, a straight shot directly in.
It does seem like the convention space is pretty necessary, right? Like if these teams are gonna be, you know, from a competitive integrity standpoint, be demanding equal access and places to meet and places to review film and stuff like that, and you know, a smaller hotel might not be able to offer that.
Yeah, and I think that is important too. I think you also have the fact that we don't know what media access is going to look like here. We don't know if media will be in the bubble, or is it going to be, they need to set everything up to be, you know, Zoom calls, you know, with the players and the like. Is that what it's going to be like? So you'd have to set up designated spots for that. You'd probably want to at least have them, you know, a handful, like in any NBA arena, there's a handful of, you know, interview rooms that are set up and the like. And then there's always the podium space, and that's traditional for the playoffs anyway. But just thinking like after practices, or, you know, those kind of the more traditional, what would have been locker room access, since that's not going to be a thing, if you need to set that up, maybe you do that by team in a convention space where it's, you know, here's, you know, there'll be, you know, four or five players in there, and we'll be able to get them, you know, immediately on there, and you can have that set up. And this one's, you know, this one's for the Lakers, this one's for the Bucks, this one's for the Clippers, and so on and so forth, to make it a little bit easier so they're not all sharing the same space, because that's probably going to be a little tighter, a little more intimate in that interview setting. But we don't know what the media piece is going to look like yet either. That seems to be all over the board as well, but that just seems to be rampant speculation. I don't think anybody knows for certain what that's going to look like.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. A question that was just raised in the Twitch is, once a team is eliminated, will they leave? Like, and I would imagine so, that they would try to have as few people there as possible.
Yeah, I think that's what the assumption I've been working under as well, is that they would leave when they're done. I mean, the reality is, I don't think they're going to want to hang around, and, you know, hey, yeah, we just got eliminated from the playoffs. Let's go watch, you know, the Bucks and Lakers play for the finals. Like, no team's going to want to do that. I mean, didn't we just learn from The Last Dance? These guys don't even want to shake hands after the series. They just want to get out. You know, so it's
– Well, again, thank God the Warriors aren't there. Otherwise, Draymond would be sticking around trying to recruit people.
There it is. Oh, man, you got to get those Warriors shots in. You can't
let – Whenever I can, man.
Poor guys are down. And
you can't anything
poor to make guys. It feel a little poor guys.
Yeah, I mean – You know,
they're gonna get. True. They're gonna get the probably the first overall pick and add them to the trio. We got Sexland.
Yeah, true. I guess that's true. Sexland.
I'm just trying to help people out and keep things as normal as humanly possible.
That's it, right? Yeah,
I'm doing a service here.
keep the hay focused on one place. I'm just glad you haven't attacked the Celtics yet. I know it's coming at some point, but it is. I think you're absolutely right. And the person who asked, I think when they're done, they're done. They're going to leave. Yeah. I can't imagine that they stay. And then that also allows as the teams go, those are rooms that Disney gets back. They can put back into the order that they need for when it's available for guests. And they're like, now there's not going to be guests in those hotels as long as there's even a single NBA team left, which I think is kind of funny because I think it becomes almost like a weird version of like Survivor or Big Brother, where it's like they all start in this massive hotel together. And then, you know, and then the teams leave. And then pretty soon it's, you know, it's a Giannis and LeBron walking around the pool. I can imagine them walking around, you know, circles around the pool deck staring each other down before game 7 of the finals. I think that'd be kind of funny, but
you know, man, I'll say this. I know that, you know, they're going to be pretty choosy about how much media they let in, and rightfully so because, you know, health and stuff. But if they are making any exceptions, they need to bring a documentary crew in.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're going to have
how cool that show would be.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have some, you know, behind the scenes, because this is, if you think about it, because a lot of people have asked the question, which I think is a fair one, is what's in it for Disney? Now, the obvious what's in it is Disney owns ESPN and ABC. They're going to get games on. Like, that's the clear and, you know, easy, obvious there. But I think for Walt Disney World, what's in it is this is an opportunity to be a, let's call it a 2-month-long commercial, mm-hmm. you know, and while you're not going to get, you know, Giannis riding Space Mountain, because that's not going to be a thing. I think what you could get is, you know, hanging out at the pool, and these are what our resorts have to offer. And for Disney, 2021 was shaping up to be a massive year for Walt Disney World. That's their 50th anniversary of being open. It's 2021, geez. So it's going to be, you know, that was
so you're going to get drone shots with Jim Nantz welcoming us.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get a bunch of that stuff of, you know, here's what it has to offer. It's also this is a chance to be a huge commercial for the sports complex, mm-hmm. to say, you know, one of Disney's things with this too is that I was told is the Atlanta Braves have trained at the sports complex for nearly 20 years. They left after the 2019 spring training, so this is the first year they have not had a professional sports team in the sports complex since it opened. And this is an opportunity to really pitch it. And they've offered, you know, hey, if you need to do a fall league instead of summer league, we're here for you, because maybe UNLV can host that, because they're back in session with classes and the campus is back busy again and the like. They've offered that, and you know, there is the potential that Disney could say, hey, why don't you let us be the home of, you know, whatever crazy mid-season tournament you dream up later, or, you know, a lottery tournament or whatever it looks like. They would love to be engaged and involved with professional sports as much as possible. The lifeblood of the sports complex is amateur sports, especially on the high school and youth level, but they would love to be involved with professional leagues as much as possible. And what was told to me by a person who works for Disney is this is our chance to prove we can do this, and we're you know, we can't let this one go by. We have to knock this out of the park.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because as difficult as this is, it's nice that there are the natural partnerships already with ESPN, yep. and Disney. The facilities are there, and the NBA and Disney are obviously both incredibly invested in this going well. They're not going to half-ass it just for money, because if things do fall apart and this is a disaster, that's a bad look for both of them. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what they do. And hey, if they want to innovate, I feel free to send me a check for this idea, but just fill Splash Mountain full of disinfectant, run every guest through there as you first come in. Maybe that works. Keith, do you have a preference on what the NBA should do? Do you like the play-in tournament idea? Do you like just going straight to playoffs with 16 teams reseeded, or keeping conferences? What is your preferred way to go about this?
Yeah, I don't like the play-in tournament too much. I understand if they go that way, I'm not going to have too big of a fit. I don't think it's fair at all in the Eastern Conference teams if they do that. The Magic have, I believe it's a 5 or 5.5 game lead, mm-hmm. right now when the season's on pause. That's not going to get made up with, you know, anywhere from 15 to 19 games to play. You know, that's
the funniest thing is people acting like, well, you know, the 66 games wasn't representative, so let's have a 3-game play-in tournament.
Yeah, so that part bothers me. I get it in the West. I know, you know, New Orleans and Portland had fairly easy closing schedules, and Memphis had a tough one, and it was about a three and a half game spread there. So I get the idea that maybe that could have been made up. I know people are already calling it the Zion plan of, you know, they want Zion in the playoffs. I think they'd be just as happy with John Moran, who's already, you know, turning into a star himself. I think they'd be just as thrilled to have him in there as well, but I've kind of come around to, if that's the way they go, I'm not going to be too upset. I'm starting to like the idea of the 1-16 seed tournament, because I think if you're ever going to try it, this is the year to try it. Why not? Mm-hmm. I get that, you know, people are already looking at what the bracket would look like if it was based off right now, and it does look like it makes it considerably harder on the Bucks to maybe get to the finals, and maybe the Lakers. And I know people, that's why it's happening, because they're setting it up, they want the Lakers. And
yeah,
I don't know that that's really the case. I mean, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens with that. But it is you know, that part's there. But I'm also fine if they do the traditional, you know, east west brackets, and that's what we get there. I selfishly, I'd love to see some regular season, just because I miss basketball, and I'd love mm-hmm. to see it come back. But if doesn't,
I want some Cavs. That's part of this whole thing, is I'm going selfishly with, I want basketball back, and I will leave it in qualified people's hands on figuring out how this can work. To me, I think from a safety standpoint, I think being able to get to just the 16 game playoffs, maybe you have some sort of group stage where there's meaningless games right at the start, just to get guys in shape. But I'd like to keep conferences, because one thing that kind of jumps out to me is, this is already going to be weird enough, and people are going to throw asterisks on it. I think you want it to resemble normal as much as humanly possible. And this is not a change that you're going to see long-term for some time. So just to kind of reduce one more objection and kind of cater to the more casual fans and the fans that really tune in for the playoffs, because I think a lot of what the league has done, and Carter made this point on Twitter today, and I thought it was a great point. A lot of the changes haven't really been catered to the casual fan for a while. It's been kind of the Twitter think pieces that have been satisfied.
People like us.
This sports coming back, if they're able to pull this off, is so much about, hey, let's get something that feels familiar, something that we can all kind of rally around. And yeah, it's a little bit risky, but we're going to try to get this done. And to me, sticking with the conferences makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, I find it very confusing. It kind of caught me off guard that was being explored here, because I don't really understand what the ad is. I guess maybe a little bit of extra competitive integrity, but like from the perspective of, hey, we kind of know this is unequal. There's no travel considerations to be made. Like that's the big reason for the conferences in the first place. But ultimately, I just don't really understand what the real upside is, other than we've been trying to do this for a minute and now we have a chance. And like, that's not a good enough reason for me. Like, you don't get to, I don't really want to see stuff trialed in the postseason. I feel like this is the kind of thing where, you know, like, so, you know, as critical as I can be of Silver going pure experimentation and playing to the, you know, the loudest minority in the decisions he's made, I think when he's tried stuff in the G League, I'm like, okay, that's a great place to try stuff. But like, to trial something that we're not even going to have be the norm moving forward feels really a little off-putting to me. And then also, as Justin said, it's just so confusing for the casual fan. Like, oh, why are the Bucks playing the Jazz right now? Like, that's just very strange. Of course, the Jazz won't be
winning. Or a damn Lakers-Celtics series that's not in the finals.
It's just like we're just trying to get back to normal. Like, that's half the reason you're going to get viewership, is because people are so excited for just a shred of normalcy, and they'd be like, "Nah, well, what if we try this?" I'm like, "No, out, out, out! I do not understand it at all."
My issue with it too, what the part I don't like about it is every time it's been brought up before is playoffs should be 1-16. And we all know it gets killed because of the travel thing. They don't want Miami and Portland playing in the first round and literally traveling across the entire country. But is this is whenever it's brought up before, it's because usually those last two or three teams that get in on the Eastern Conference side might not even make it in the West. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case this year. The top 16 teams are the top 16 teams. They're all –
And it's usually one team.
It's one or two at the most, yeah.
And the series that casual people aren't watching anyway.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, it's going to be whoever – it doesn't matter if it's the one team in the East or the West. They're demolishing the team they're playing anyway.
It's the NBA TV series.
Yeah.
I think the only thing, if you went 1-16, I think that really enables you to go five games in the first round because it's just – even more exaggerated how big of a gap there is between those teams.
But even then, like, that is the one thing, because you mentioned that earlier, Keith, that they were, you know, that you know, they wouldn't take that, you didn't want to take that off the table as a possibility. Mm-hmm. This feels like the worst year to go back to a higher variance outcome.
Like
if you're really looking for trying to find the least asterisked winner, the first real hardcore competitive basketball potentially that you're playing is a five game series where maybe you're just still getting your legs for the first three. Oh man, that feels. If I'm running the league, I'm saying we're doing sevens the whole way because that's the closest thing we have to some kind of balancing beam that tells me that the better team is going to win, which is the goal, right? And like, yeah. So I really hope they don't do a five game first round. I hope they like you're already pretty pot committed if you're doing this.
Yeah, what I've envisioned in a five-game first round is what if you have a young, athletic Memphis Grizzlies team mm-hmm. that they hit the ground running and they take the first two off the Lakers? Mm-hmm. You know, not now what? And then there's no home court advantage to rely on or anything like
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't it be Brooklyn? That would be even funnier.
Actually, yeah, it is
in Brooklyn. In the 1-16 scenario.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It's Bucks Magic, Lakers Nets.
Lakers Nets.
Raptors.
But I'm talking
Grizzlies.
If you did the conferences.
Oh, okay.
One to, you know, in a five game series.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be, you know, kind of wild. There, I've thought about that a lot, but I think that goes back to why Adam Silver is, no, we're going to do real playoffs because I think they can confidently say there's no asterisk because this was the same for everybody.
Yeah, everyone's
all 30
on
teams
level
are in the same boat. We're all in the same place here, and as long as we do a traditional playoffs, we crown a real champion and off we go. And I look at it as, how many people even remember what the two lockout years were? Even though people, well, those are asterisk champions. All right, who won them? I don't know. You know, but mm-hmm. those, they weren't the same, right? That's not how this works. You just, you know, you make the best of it. I've been saying a lot is the NBA, probably more so than any league that I know of, is really good about taking lemons and making lemonade and making it work and coming up with something really great. I think they're going to come back with something we all feel really good about, no matter what it is. In the end, there'll be some debate and some argument about it, of course. And quite frankly, they don't mind that because that keeps them top of mind, keeps them on the front pages and keeps them, you know, and leading all the TV shows and everything. But I think in the end, as long as we get something that resembles a normal playoffs, it's there. And I think that might be what wins out in the end of, let's just do conferences because there's already enough to worry about doing, getting everybody to Florida and figuring out how to do this. Now we're going to add this other stuff in there. Let's just do this and move forward with it. But again, progressive league that isn't afraid to try things. If they want to try, if they ever wanted to try 1-16, this would be the time to try it.
Keith, this has been incredibly insightful. I've really, really enjoyed this. You've been super generous with your times. Before we get you out, I just want to ask one question. This was asked in the Twitch feed. Do you think this is going to work? And do you think it's going to work well?
Yeah, I do. I think it is going to work. And I think it's going to work well. There is, this is the weirdest Venn diagram of things in my life that I know. Disney and the NBA, you know, this will never happen, you know, again in my life. I can't imagine. And it is, I think you have the NBA, who is, they're smart. They only do things if it makes sense. They have been you know, really under Adam Silver, I think they've pulled the right trigger almost every single time with their decision making. And then you have Disney, who this is what Disney does. Disney pulls off massive events, takes care of people, moves people, controls environments better than anywhere else does in the world. And I think if you were ever going to have to put something like this together, these would be the two groups you would want doing it. So I do think it's going to work, and I do think it's going to work well. I'm not sold that no one is going to come down with, you know, a positive test or anything like that, but I think they're going to have a plan in place to handle that, handle it quickly, and move on. And I do think this is going to work, and I think it's going to work well, because I don't think if it was, I don't think they'd even be considering doing it.
Right.
Ty Windisch just jumped in the chat, friend of the pod, and asked about the possibility of an alternate uncensored feed with on-court mics. And he referenced that he thought that Last Dance having a TV 14 and a TVMA feed was kind of a prelude to that. What do you think about that, Keith? Do you think that there's a chance that they'll actually let us hear these guys talking?
Yeah, let me tell you what I think about it first. Please, 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 please give it to us. There is no way in hell we're getting that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you did call this an advertisement for Disney.
Yeah, that part of it, and they do not want to turn around and have, you know, LeBron cuss somebody out and then say, come see Space Jam 2 with your, you know, five-year-old. Like, that's not what anybody wants. It's just, you know, the players are going to be against
disagree.
It.
It's exactly what I want.
Well, yeah.
I want guys to lose sponsorship deals over playing games.
Right, but in the other piece, I think, too, is I don't think the coaches have any interest in that. I do think you're going to get, I think it's going to look and sound a lot like Orlando Summer League did, mm-hmm. where you can hear a lot more of what's happening on the court, but I do think there'll be a significant delay, so you won't pick up anything, you know, overly specific, but you'll hear things. I mean, part of Orlando Summer League, which what I always thought was cool, now I was in the gym a lot, but when I would watch from home, was you could hear guys calling out coverages defensively. You could hear guys, you know, let him shoot. You know, those kind of things. And yeah. I think those
hedge, fuck out of here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think those are the things that we are a little more likely to hear and pick up, because I just, you know, unless you really go almost silent, I don't know how you're not going to pick those things.
Well, the way you avoid picking them up is fake crowd noise, yeah. which I know, I think the Bundesliga is doing.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you guys think about that? I'm kind of two minds about it, because on one hand, it's weird. It's a little uncanny valley, maybe, where you kind of get this vibe of like you're trying to pretend and maybe you're drawing more attention. But then part of me wonders if the NBA was smart and was creative about how they used fake crowd noise, like maybe something like, you know, like
everybody, you know, clap your hands.
Stop. I work in the esports field, and you'll see some feeds do integrations where people, you know, use a certain emote or a certain hashtag, and there's an on-screen representation. Maybe you do something like that, where you have enough people, where for every time someone puts a, you know, a Cavs hashtag in the on Twitter, you get a, you know, the volume, you know, some API or something where the audio reacts to some social media, where the more people tweeting about the Celtics, the more sound you hear in the arena for that. Or you could do interesting creative stuff. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you could do some fun things. Now, as far as I understand, in the Bundesliga, the players couldn't hear it.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, I think there was only the broadcast. I don't think the players on field could hear it. But
I guess you know, wouldn't need them to.
So I do wonder. I think you're right with, I think there'll be some form of social media tie-in. I think they're going to do similar-ish things to like what the NFL draft did, where it's like, hey, all the fans of the Celtics hang out, you know, in this Zoom link here, and we'll get you, you know, we'll go to you after a play, and you know, those kind of things. It'll be a little delay, but you know, you'll get some of that, you know, like almost how, you know, after a big play they cut away to the crowd, you just cut away to a, you know, feed of, you know, 100 little boxes on the screen of people, mm-hmm. you know, screaming and yelling. And you know, I know that there was a, you know, a whole, they had to delay it, I learned after the fact, with the NFL, because there was a question of like, hey, wait, what if somebody all of a sudden decides, I'm going to sit here in my underpants, you know, I'm going to, you know, sit here and just hang out in my drawers. Like, that's, you probably don't want that. So I think that'll be a, you know, interesting thing to see how they pull that off. But yeah, I do think you're going to see them experiment and do some fun stuff, some different things, and try and have some fun with this. Again, that's what the NBA does, and maybe does better than any other league, is let's embrace this. This is weird. Let's do some different things and see what it looks like. But I don't think you're going to get the full players mic'd up as much as, you know, all of us that are, you know, huge basketball fans would die to have that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Keith, you did say that this is the perfect Venn diagram for your area of expertise, but I want to encourage all of our listeners. Keith does great work year round. Go support him at Keith Smith on Twitter. Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. I almost botched that. I'm very glad right. I did. We really, really do appreciate your time. This is super informative, and it actually makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. You are being asked on our Twitch feed, because our Discord does get very, very weird. What is your favorite bird?
My favorite bird?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, can I say Larry Bird? Does that count?
It does.
I absolutely accept love it. That.
Somehow we have a bunch of avid birders in our listenership. I don't know how this happened, Keith.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Things do get weird, but that is an absolutely perfect answer.
All right, well, that would be my answer there. Hey, Justin, I didn't get a chance to dunk on you. I apologize, yes, but you know, I just, you know, I'll leave it with your Cavs fan who lives in Canada. How much dunking on you do I need to do?
That's absolutely fair. Thank you. Thank you so much. I need that. I need to be taken down a peg at all times. So I really appreciate you.
That's it. And I know probably after this, you're going to ride your polar bear over to our mutual friend, Josh Eberle's house, and hang out and have a Labatt's or something like that. Right?
Funny story. He has actually been over to my house
before. I know. I do know this. Yeah. And I like to believe, I don't want anybody to spoil it. I like to believe Josh lives in an igloo and has a polar bear.
That's what he rode over here, and he lost his fake play money at poker, because of course we wouldn't gamble with real money. We would
seem like something degenerate like you would do.
No, absolutely not. Keith, thank you so much for coming on. You're an absolute rock star. We really, really do appreciate it. Again, everybody listening, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. If you want to support our podcast, you can do so by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. And if you want to be part of our weird Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. Big thanks to Keith. Thanks to all of our listeners. And until next time, go Cavs.